Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy. I'm a careers consultant here in DCU Career Service. Today, as part of our spotlight on employers attending DCU's virtual careers fair, I am actually joined by Diane Hennessy, who is a graduate recruiter with McCann Fitzgerald. So listen, thank you very much for agreeing to come on the show in the first instance, and you're very welcome.
Thank you, Siobhan. It's great to be here. We're very excited.
Brilliant. Well, we'll start off maybe you could maybe tell us a little bit more about McCann Fitzgerald.
Absolutely. So McCann Fitzgerald is one of Ireland's leading law firms. We have four offices. So our main office is in Riverside One, which is in Grand Canal. We also have an office in New York, in London and in Brussels. In our office in Grand Canal and across the other ones, we have over 600 staff, and that's composed of over 350 legal professionals. In the firm, we practice four main areas of law, and these will be litigation, property, which is made up of real estate and construction, finance and corporate law. We're a very large law firm, and I guess part of that means that we're very fortunate to look with leaders across many different industries, work with leaders, I should say, across many different industries, both nationally and internationally. We work with many of the leaders in pharma, tech, finance, real estate, and many, many more.
So it sounds like your clients would be, you know, not all, but for the most part, like very international, multinational firms there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's very exciting, especially as a trainee, because you get to listen in on phone calls and take part in the transactions that are going on with those firms that are not, with those other companies, I guess, that are not just based in Ireland.
Yes, I suppose we get a bit of insight about, you know, like really kind of global trades and mergers and acquisitions, and get a bit of insight, I suppose, a lot into how the world, the economy operates across the world as well.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you'd often be on, you know, listening in on phone calls or on phone calls with clients across the world. And that's very exciting.
Just with the offices that you have abroad now, what, notwithstanding that there's travel restrictions at the moment, but when things are in its non-COVID environment and eventually we will get out of that, you know, is there much travel between the offices or, you know, opportunities for secondment and so on?
Yep, absolutely. So during the traineeship, the trainee solicitors will do four seat rotations, meaning they spend 6 months in each department during their training contract. And during one of those seats, they can have the opportunity to go to any of our overseas offices. So that definitely is there in normal circumstances.
Brilliant. So we just might get into the substantive roles there. Can you tell me a little bit about the traineeships and also the summer internship program that you roll out?
Absolutely. So we're currently open for applications for the graduate traineeship. And what that is it's a 33-month training program, which essentially is your qualification to becoming a solicitor. That training program is made up of in-house in McCann Fitzgerald and also at Blackhall Place, which is where you study your PPC1 and PPC2 courses. I guess the in-house training, it's very, very hands-on. You're part of a team. You're under normal circumstances working in an office directly with a partner. And there's also a lot of training. So there's not just training on legal skills, there's also training on business skills, which is fantastic. And we have a very active trainee social committee, which I hear is always a big hit. And then kind of like what I was saying earlier, the trainees get a chance to experience each of the different practice groups within McCann Fitzgerald. So they do a seat in each of the practice groups. So they really get a feel for what goes on across the entire business. And they're constantly working really, really closely with their partner and their team. So that's the traineeship, and that's what we're recruiting for at the moment. And I guess that's one of our three graduate programs a year, but one of our two main recruitment drives. The second one, as you said, Siobhan, is the summer internship. Applications for that will open closer to Christmas and then will close in the new year. We were very lucky this summer that we actually moved our internship online, because we obviously weren't able to have it face to face. And we did it over a few days. We had a number of students joining us and, you know, really gave us confidence that should things not improve, we'll be able to do that again. So we look forward to having that in the new year.
Could you maybe just tell us a little bit more about that kind of the virtual internship? Because Obviously, you were very agile and you were able to, you know, roll it out, albeit that it was, you know, a tighter program maybe than you had intended. But any insights there that you can share with us about that process of, you know, doing an internship online?
Absolutely. So our usual internship, we do one in June and one in July, and they're 3 weeks each. So we've two different groups in, we've one group in July and then a different group in June. And during those 3 weeks, you get to sit as part of a team, you do assignments, you get a lot of training, you get a lot of exposure to what goes on in McCann Fitzgerald. And you also get a lot of exposure to the people. And culture is something that we're very proud of. We've a very, very, we've a lovely culture in McCann Fitzgerald, and it's something that we feel is a fantastic asset to have. So when we were designing the virtual internship, I was just thinking, how do we show people online that, you know, we're a lovely place to work for? So when designing the virtual internship, we did a lot of face-to-face calls. So the interns would have morning sessions with groups of people from around the firm. They'd have a lot of partner exposure. They'd have a lot of exposure to themselves. There were social activities. We even had a cocktail evening on the first evening with one of the partners doing a basically a pub quiz, but online. So there were a lot of activities to kind of, I guess, make the students aware of our culture. And then also the students were given a buddy. So that buddy was a trainee solicitor that over those few days they could reach out to for anything they needed. So they had someone directly that they could go to. So even though they were at home sitting on their computer from wherever they are in the country, they still had a direct line for help. And to be honest, Siobhan, it was a really good program and something that we're really proud to have been able to roll out.
And it sounds like you'd be very confident about, you know, rolling out similar or even better again, you know, now that what you've learned from that experience. Should That's it be exactly necessary it. To do it that way?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I think, you know, everything happened so fast between, say, March and June when the interns were supposed to come in, that, you know, we made a great program, but I think like we can only improve on that. So hopefully not, but if that's the circumstances next summer again, I can only hope that our program is bigger and better, and, you know, that's something that we're quite excited about.
Brilliant. So we just might go into the application process now. So we might just start off, because we were with there with the summer internship, so we might begin there. And what is the application process for the summer internship, and how do you select?
So our applications are on our website, which is www.mccannfitzgerald.com/careers/graduates. And that's where you'll get into your application form and you'll set up a profile, and you can have access to that form until the deadline is there. The application form is straightforward. We are trying to find out if you are an effective communicator, if you're a hard worker, you know, if you can work as part of a team. And the way we find that out is through the answers that we're eliciting from you in that form. We ask you all about your work experience. We ask you to tell us a lot about yourself. We ask you why you want to be a solicitor and why you want to work in McCann Fitzgerald. You know, we ask you, you know, to tell us about your university and your grades and all of that. And, you know, we're looking at someone in that form who can get those skills across by I guess answering the questions we've posed.
And so you get that application, and as you said, you've kind of got very tailored questions that helps you evaluate who moves on to the next stage. So what is the next stage? Is there an interview, or do you give the summer internship places from the application alone?
Yeah, so there's always an interview. The next step would be you would be interviewed by two partners. Now, we can do that face-to-face, or, and we all have learned to do it virtually as well. So the next stage will be an interview with two partners from two different practice groups, generally male and female. And then usually within a week and a half after the interviews, you would find out if you received an offer or not.
Brilliant. Now, that brings us on to the traineeship application form. Is there much differences there, or is it quite similar?
It's quite similar, to be honest with you. Now, obviously, the traineeship application form, you might have more experience, you'd be slightly more far along in your education, or you might be, you know, you might have more work experience behind you. But that's really the only difference.
Brilliant. Now tell us about the process after the application then for the traineeships. You know, is there a couple of interview stages or anything like that? What would be a more involved process?
Yeah, so generally for the traineeship, it's the same in that, you know, our own process is done internally and then you find out if you get an interview or not. And we also have a careers night that happens before the interviews. So we hope to be doing that virtually this year. But again, it'll depend on the state of the nation at yes. that time. And that's really a night where we usually would invite all of the people who are coming for an interview to the firm, where they'll meet with myself, members of our HR team, partners, training solicitors. They'll get a presentation on what the firm is all about, and then there'll be a social mixer afterwards. And it really gives them a feel for us and us a feel for them before the interview. And then the interviews generally follow in the 2 days after that.
Brilliant. So that it is, and that information evening, you know, it's a little bit of networking, a little bit more fact finding, a bit of an opportunity exactly. to kind of find out, you know, I suppose those little nuances about the firm that, you know, only can be kind of gleaned from talking to people actually working there.
Yeah, that's it. And I think as well, it's nice for the candidate to be able to come into the building before sure. they come in for their interview. You know, it's making them more comfortable and they know where to go on the day. And they might have met the person interviewing them the night before, which is, you know, brilliant. They won't know that at the time, but it just makes them more comfortable.
And even if that happens virtually, at least they've virtually met them, you know, the day before as well. So yeah. whichever yeah. way it actually works out. Bearing in mind that a lot of things are happening virtually and things like that, what would be your top tips for doing those virtual interviews?
To be honest, they're probably the practical ones. Like me, Siobhan, when recording this yeah. podcast today, put yourself in a quiet room. Dress as if you were, especially in an interview circumstance, dress as if you were going to an actual interview. It'll get you in the mindset. It'll get you in the zone, I suppose.
The
zone. Yeah, absolutely. Look at the person you're talking to in the camera. Don't look at yourself. That's really hard to kind of figure out, but I know myself, I fall into that trap a lot of the time.
Me too.
You know, it's easy to check your hair when you're looking at the camera.
Hide self view. I think either all of them you can do a hide self view. So
that's
on Zoom anyway.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, just try and be as natural as possible. It's strange circumstances for everyone. And Siobhan, as you and I were chatting before this, you know, everyone is being pushed out of their comfort zone. And don't be worried if you are a bit more nervous than you would be for a face-to-face interview, because you're not the only one who's in that situation. And I think that'd be really it, to be honest with you. And even little things like make sure your background is clear and that you've no like
pets or dogs,
rubbish or posters yeah. or anything in the background.
Yeah. We've discovered, it's just, I suppose we all have discovered the importance of lighting there, actually, in some circumstances.
Yeah,
some
yeah,
people
yeah,
are very
true.
Overlit and you nearly can't see their face because there's some sort of a shine, or they're in, you know, they're nearly darkened out. You know, you can't actually see them. So I'd encourage everyone to actually record a video of yourself and experiment then with lighting or curtains open, curtains closed, blinds up, blinds down, you know, and depending on the time of the year where the sun is in the sky and all that. But just some of those little tiny little prep work kind of gives you a good bit of reassurance as well, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And I think headphones are an important thing. Have headphones in.
Yes, you wouldn't be picking up as much background noise and things like that. Sure, you wouldn't.
No, I find I focus more when I have the headphones in because it's coming directly into my ear and you can't really hear what's going on around you, even if there's nothing, it's much easier to focus.
Yeah, okay, well, that's another good tip because, you know, you might have got in because you maybe are used to studying at home at the moment and nobody around you, you might be using the headphones, you know, so just for the interviews, the headphones might be really, really useful. We just might go back into a little bit more about McCann Fitzgerald and our practice areas. Is there any particular thing that you maybe want to extend out the conversation about what McCann Fitzgerald do? You know, what they're well known for or anything like that?
To be honest with you, Siobhan, I'd need Susie. Susie's a trainee who did law in DCU and will be with me on the day of the fair. And she'd probably be able to answer that in more detail. I obviously know that there's a lot of really high performing work going on constantly. And the best way to keep your eye on what's going on is probably our LinkedIn page and our website. We often would publish things that each team are working on up there. And it's also a really good way for students to get in, to get more knowledge on what the firm is doing. But I probably wouldn't be the best person to answer the
that's terrific because you've directed us, you know, where you know, where solicitors and maybe partners are writing up, you know, blog articles and stuff like that, and or maybe they're putting out news feed to their clients, or just their general sharing their general expertise open source. That often happens with a lot of firms, you know, across all discipline areas, not just law. You know, you can glean a lot by the news feed. I suppose maybe having a look, you know, where McCann Fitzgerald are mentioned in the news or anything like that, and things like that. But anything like that, I think the social media feeds, I think, are coming more to the fore now when people are doing their research, you know. With the LinkedIn now, what do you find that, do you put up little articles and things like that, a little bit about kind of what's going on?
Yeah, so the actual McCann Fitzgerald LinkedIn is very, it's very good for information. A lot of briefings are often posted on there, and there'd be one or two almost daily going up. So even say if something happened in the news, something that really affected tax, for example, some people within our tax team might write up something about it and then publish it, which will create a greater understanding on it. So that's shared a lot on our LinkedIn, and also there's a lot of that shared on our website as well. And I know students are very active on LinkedIn these days, so it's definitely good to give the page a follow. Absolutely. And then I guess for the more social side of things, you know, we have an Instagram and a Facebook account as well, that I would encourage people to follow, because that's a great way of keeping up to date with what we're doing and what's going on, especially on the graduate side of things.
That's brilliant, because I do think your mention about the articles is very useful, because, you know, you do hear things changing in law and stuff like that, but what does it mean, you know, in reality, you know? So, and I'm sure for anyone, even their final year studies, it's lovely to hear and read things from professionals who are already starting to interpret things out there and the impact for business or individuals or so on and so forth. And it's lovely to get their kind of their expertise on a matter as well. I just want to maybe move around into the traineeship process as well. You mentioned quite rightly, traineeships would include obviously working on the ground as well as going into the Law Society of Ireland and Blackhall Place. Can you just speak to a little bit more about, you know, the whole in-house training there? Because you said you have quite an extensive program. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So we have a lady called Emma Crowley, who is the head of our legal professional training. So she works very closely with the learning and development manager, Declan Farrell, and they design a curriculum specifically for the trainees. And then there's obviously another training curriculum for the rest of the firm, and the trainees have access to both. So that would be taking into consideration legal skills and also, business skills. And I guess the trainees also have access to everything else that everyone within the firm would do. We do a lecture series on Thursday mornings that runs for most of the months of the year. And that would be from people within the business and also from external providers. And that would be on very kind of detailed but quite random topics, but also very topical topics at the time. And they have access to that. I'm trying to think what else now off the top of my head.
Well, one of the questions that come up for me when you mentioned it, and I was just curious about it, is, you know, you mentioned a couple of times now in the show so far around business skills. Tell me the importance of that, and why is it important, you know, for the trainees to be more trained up and savvy in this area?
Absolutely. I think it's the same with any professional services organization, to be honest with you, Siobhan. You know, everyone has a certain amount of business skills when they start their career. You know, you might think you're an effective communicator, or you might think you're highly organized, but you might not be organized enough, or you know, might not be as efficient a communicator as you need to be. So we provide the training workshops on how to become more savvy, I guess, with your business skills. And that goes on everything from negotiation to, as I said, communication skills. You know, we've also, like Declan has also been giving workshops on resilience and working from home and all of these things to try and make people as comfortable in doing what they're doing as they can be. And it's important because, you know, it's commercial law firm, it's business. That's what we're all about. And you need to be, you know, efficient in your business skills to succeed in that. So we do feel it's very important to support the trainees as much as we can in providing that training.
And I suppose is then you're actually working with client and client businesses. So maybe understanding a little bit more of their language and, you know, being able to interpret what a client's concern actually is, I'm sure is also critical that you're all on the same hymn sheet, I suppose, around the business jargon as well, and a bit more of a key understanding of that.
Yeah, that's it. But like, sorry, Siobhan, for interrupting you, but on that, like, I think there's the explicit training, but also the fact that the trainees get to sit in an office with a partner, they're learning a lot of those skills on the job. So, you know, they're being taken along to client meetings, they're listening in on phone calls, and they're seeing how the partner is acting and how the partner is speaking. So it's kind of learning by osmosis as well, yeah. Which is fantastic.
And just moving on to, you were talking about working from home, and obviously your organisation, like 99.9% of organisations out there have had to obviously change how, even if they remained face-to-face organisation, they certainly had to change how they do things. But virtual working is a key part of how business are keeping up and running at the moment. And I suppose if you have any insights to how, you know, to share with the listeners, you know, of those maybe going to be onboarded maybe in a hybrid way or onboarded maybe even virtually, depending on how things are. How has that worked for you so far, and any insights to share?
Yeah, so you know what, it's worked very well. I have to say, people have been onboarded and onboarded successfully. We're able to do all of our IT training online, on all of any type of training online. And I think something that's working really well for us is the collaboration of different teams. So people are being involved in team activities as soon as they start, which is really, really, really important. So honestly, there will be no fears about onboarding people online if that's something that we have to do.
Brilliant. And if you were to say to somebody that were considering, you know, a traineeship or a summer internship with McCann Fitzgerald, you know, what would be the top tips you'd like them to take on board?
It's a long list.
Go for it. Longer the better. That's fine.
You know what? Yeah. I'll give a synopsis.
Sure.
So I guess showing us that you're commercially aware is very important, and showing us that you know what McCann Fitzgerald is all about. And as I said earlier, the way to do that is looking online, seeing what we're doing. And as you said, Siobhan, you know, even typing our name into Google News and seeing what comes up. In the virtual world, there's a lot of events happening in universities all around the country that are not just open to the universities. So I would encourage people, students in particular, that are interested in McCann Fitzgerald, to try and attend as many virtual events as you possibly can, just to get a feel for the people, get a feel for the firm. And then you will be creating your reason as to why you want to join us. And it will be an authentic reason, not just a general reason. That's something that I find is very important. It's very easy to come across quite generic in the why McCann Fitzgerald part. So you really need to hone on in the reason as to why you really do want to join us. And as I said earlier, you know, you need to show us that you're hardworking, that you're an effective communicator, that you're a team player. And another thing that's important to us is people that are intellectually curious. So like, we're a very high performance culture, so grades are important. We look for kind of a 2-1 and above. Now, that being said, if there are circumstances that meant that you weren't able to achieve that, do reach out to us and let us know. If there were circumstances that affected that grade for you and you felt like you could have achieved it, please send us an email. You can reach out to me at graduates@mccannfitzgeralds.com and explain that. And we always say that to people as well. And I guess, you know, back to the nitty gritties of spelling, grammar, sentence structure, and the effort you put into the form is really, really, really important. It's a highly competitive process, Siobhan, and it's very competitive, and you need to put your best foot forward. And the first way you have ownership over that is by making sure that the form is immaculate in terms of spelling and grammar and all of that.
Okay, can I just check with you, because I do think I picked it up right, but just to double check, your application form is an online one that you can kind of go in and out of, you know, can you yeah. save and continue and go back in and go back out? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, you are, Siobhan. And what I generally recommend students to do is start the profile as soon as you can. So go in and have a look at the form, and then you can copy and paste the questions into a Word document.
Brilliant.
And that sounds so simple when you're saying it to people.
But you forget to do the obvious. We all do.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can go through it yourself in your own time. You can get other people to look at it. You can change it. Little things like having spell check on Microsoft Word. And you do not have to submit that form until you're ready with it. The closing date for our traineeship applications is midnight on Thursday, October 29th. And you don't have to put your form in until then. We won't be looking at them until after that time.
So, if it is a minute to midnight, although I would urge no one to do that in case there's some time differential or some time delay across the, you know, the fiber optic cable or something like that.
Things
like that. But, you know, that's fine. You're not judging anyone whether they put it in the first day or the last day. You're looking at the applications. You know, that's nice to know as well, because sometimes people do get it in their head. Well, it's the last day. I've a trichort is done. I can't really put it in on the last day now. Do you know what I mean? So that's good. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So listen, thanks very much for today. I learned an awful lot. I hope you feel it was useful. I do think our listeners will find it useful because you've been able to explain it in a little bit more detail. And as clear as websites are and as clear as a lot of things are, until you actually maybe hear from the person themselves, you know, from a farm, sometimes it can be hard to really unpack it just online.
Yeah, I completely agree, Siobhan. And thanks for giving us the opportunity, I guess, to speak to students in this format. And we look forward to seeing you at the fair on the 15th, where also, as I said earlier, Suvi Ronan will be with me and another member of the team. And she actually studied in DCU and she's a current trainee. So I remember Suvi, actually.
She's BCL. I remember Suvi. I know I'm very bad on names sometimes, but it's an unusual name. I do remember actually Suvi. That's interesting. I'm glad now. I didn't realise that's where she ended up, was in Canvas Gerald. That's interesting.
So we'll be there on the day. So please be sure to drop in. I can go into more detail about everything I said today and we'll be happy to talk to anyone who has questions.
Brilliant. Great. Thank you very much.
Not at all. Thank you. Bye.